You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's a beautiful morning.
First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning to you, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
You know, a lot of people are angry with us now. One person texted and said they'll still talk about Winchell, you knuckleheads. They're just changing the advisory warning designations. No, you're absolutely wrong on that. They are actually going to do away with Winchell.
They're not
going to
mention it anymore?
It says, now the National Weather Service will only issue cold weather advisories. Get rid of the Winchells. Those will be only used in-house.
All right.
And they'll be used to come up with the advisories.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
and another guy says, yeah. John wonders if people are really so dumb that they'll get confused by Winchells. Yet we know that almost half the people in this country are voting for Trump. We need to remember we are surrounded by idiots.
Okay.
Go.
Thanks for
love your input.
Thanks for that. You can text us at 608-879-8255.
Or just go to the Civic Media app.
Let's
get to the big story. Terry Bell's in the studio. What's going on, Terry?
Yeah, well, before we get to the big story, I just want to say that it is a pet peeve of mine that people on social media will post the wind chill and as if it's the air temperature and start losing their minds. Oh, look, it's 75 degrees below. No, it isn't. It's 10 below, but when you get a good gust of wind,
It feels like that.
Theoretical number.
Right.
So they should explain that it feels like.
Some don't, but people just see the big number.
The big number, and then they don't. Yeah, you're right.
They get scared.
Yeah. Oh, big story. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Well,
the
in
big
all
story
series,
is weather.
Yeah. Speaking of the weather, Hurricane Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida tonight. Boy, maybe the biggest hurricane ever to hit Florida. Certainly the biggest National Guard mobilization happening, 8,000 troops. One quote that we've been seeing run past us is, this is not survivable.
Yes.
Yeah, so evacuations are well underway. And, you know, that general part of the country is still recovering from Helene, a long way from getting over Helene. And here comes Milton, so a real 1-2 punch.
I was trying to wrap my head around the fact that DeSantis wants to clean up the area before Milton comes in.
Well, it's kind of too late now, isn't it?
I'm thinking it is. And
there's still a lot of debris out there that didn't get
not quite
picked
sure
up.
What the point of that is anyway, because Milton is really, really going to come tearing in there.
And, that's the big story. A couple of side stories. The president's going to come to Madison, I understand. President Biden coming to Madison in the next few days. Did you hear that one?
I have not happened to hear that one. It could very well be so. He was just in Milwaukee yesterday. Yeah.
He was appearing in Milwaukee on Monday.
Well, that happens so fast.
There
is a campaign appearance in Madison today. Let me look this up. Oh gosh.
Hang on.
I believe it's Gwen Walls today in Madison. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders coming this weekend. Jill Biden next Monday.
That's right, Monday. Jill Biden will be here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be a fire hose.
They're just running
now on November 5th.
It's going to more hard to keep track of who's going to be making it into Wisconsin, but it's a huge swing state for everybody in the election. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. And let's get to our guest this morning. It's Paul Mercurio. And he's bringing his show to Milwaukee on October 19th at the Marcus Center. That's going to be a great show. We've got Paul on. Let's talk about this and find out what's going on exactly. They call it a Broadway show, Paul.
Well, that's because he has a show on Broadway, right?
Yes, it is. I'm wearing sequins and I'm doing a can-can dance. I'm going. Yeah.
Not your usual stand-up. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's we did it on Off-Broadway, then Broadway. Frank Oz is directing it. You know, the great Frank Oz.
Yes.
Created Yoda and, you know, yeah, Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear and, you know, and he's, it's then moved to Broadway. And now we're taking it around the country and we're going to the Market Center on October 19th. And it's a show born out of my stand-up where I like to talk to people. And I went beyond crowd work and just started asking more and more questions. And you guys know you're great interviewers and you interview people. And the more you talk to them, the more you get great stories. And we're getting these incredible stories. And so I'm up there doing stand-up, telling stories. But I'm also talking to audience members and bringing them on stage and getting their life story. And just it's been incredible because the premise of the show is we're nameless and faceless and disconnected and divisive. But if we get together and share stories, we realize we have more in common than we think. And make connections, and we've just been getting really fun stories, and a lot of the "I can't believe I just heard that" moments and stuff like that.
So right, exactly.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Right. And as everybody out there listening has a story, if you're over the age of six, there's something in your life, and so that's kind of what we're doing with the show. It's really been really a lot of fun.
You know, when I go see a comedian, I usually try to sit in the back because I don't want to be a part of the audience in the
don't
front
get picked on.
Where they're going to pick on you and nail you. I mean, we had a guy, Dave Gray, was in the area for a while here. He passed away, but he used to do that endlessly.
Yes, his whole show was crowd
tried
work,
not to go on stage with him and never wanted to be harassed by him. But this is not,
we're not. I'm not picking on anybody or making fun of them. It's not what I do. This is just talking to them about their lives. And, you know, we get these great stories. So, and if you're in the back, I can come down off the stage and get you and bring you up anyway. So I can come and I'll come and grab you. But I lasso you with a rope and I bring you up. It's a lot of fun. So people can talk from their seat, come up, whatever, or not talk at all. But we've been getting people really excited. I'm finding that people have stories and either want to tell them or need to tell them, and that's what we get to do. You know, and we have some really really fun moments from the show.
You sent us examples. Do you have the title of an example that we could play here?
Let's see.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
The first one I got here is about coming out to your mom.
Okay.
If you want to hear that.
Yeah, let's play that one.
I was a pretty gay little boy.
How did you react when he told you?
The first thing she said was, "Why are you telling me at 10:30 at night?"
That is great stuff, you know?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your mom.
You brought somebody up on stage and that was it, right? That was her answer.
Well, the whole conversation, I had the mother, the father, him, and we just started talking about life, and he's gay, and I'm always like, you know, people who are gay and have to keep that a secret, it's got to be so hard. And I said, well, how was that, and blah, blah, blah. And then she says, why are you telling me at 10:30 at night? Now, I work on a TV show, perform, write, whatever. If we were writers in a room, we wrote that as a sketch, nobody would believe it, but that's how real people talk to each other, right? What she really meant by that to him was, you're my son. I've known you since you're a baby. I've known you're gay. It's okay. I have a meeting in the morning. I don't have time for this now. Like, that's right. And it was a beautiful moment that was really funny. Everybody went up to him and the mother afterwards, gave him a hug, said that was such a great story. And that's what we're getting. These really fun moments, these clips that we have that just show you, like, people are just, I had a guy, I just said to him, I was in Chicago. And I've been to Chicago before, but I'm not familiar with it, like people who live there. And I said to this guy, what do you do? And he goes, oh, I own a Diversity Rock and Bowl, and everybody went, oh, my God. Like, apparently it's like the coolest, biggest bowling alley in Chicago. And I said, well, how did that happen? He goes, well, I was a controller in a company in finance. I hated it. And I bought a bowling alley with my buddy for $2. And I said, what, you didn't have $2 on your own? You needed a buddy?
Great stuff.
And then it went from there.
Yeah,
so
that's great
stuff. It's really been fun.
You know, that's the one thing I noticed about, and we're talking to Paul Mercurio. He has the show Permission to Speak, and it's coming to Milwaukee on October 19th. One thing I did really like about you ask great questions, and it's not condescending, you know, questions that really kind of get something out of everybody who appears on stage. And that's a talent.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had a guy, polio. And I think we have a clip of this too. We had polio, 38 years old,
never met a person with polio. When I think polio, I think FDR, right? I mean, polio. Like, that's what I think, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I asked him, I just asked questions. I figure, like, I'm a vessel for the people in the audience. If I have the question, they probably do.
Right.
So, like, and he was talking about having a little kid, and I go, how do you explain polio to, like, a six-year-old child? And I think we have a clip we can play. This is what he said.
Right. Here we go.
Travis, how are you? What do we got here? What's the issue?
Polio.
Oh, yeah?
My kids are younger. I would go to the school plays. Obviously, kids would be like, hey, is that your dad? Is he RoboCop? Blah, blah, blah. I would tell the kids, hey, I'm from Vietnam. That's how I got hurt. They were like, really? You were in Vietnam? And I was like, yeah. And it was a joke. But my daughter's 18 now. And a few months ago, she was like, Daddy, were you really in Vietnam? I was like, oh, I forgot. I told that. I told everybody that you were like six. I never fixed it.
I never finished the story. That is unbelievable. It really is great stuff.
Yeah, and the reason like Frank Oz got involved is because he feels like we really need a show like this now, where kind of people are connecting instead of kind of getting torn apart. It's not a political show; we don't do any politics. Right. But you know, and by the way, like it's great working with Frank. But you know, he's intimidating. It's like try being directed by Yoda. He's Yoda, okay? It's a little, and he never the backwards talking thing. He never lets that go. Like you're at a diner, you know, omelet I will have. All right, I get it, Frank. You're Yoda, okay? Enough already.
That's great stuff. Yeah. How does he do that? You know, I'd love to just spend a day talking like that if I could, you know?
Man. Oh, God. Yeah. It's when he wants to try to make you talk. He thinks you're a puppet. That's when it gets weird. You know, like, I'm not a puppet anymore. No. He's got great stories and how he comes up, how they came up with all these iconic figures. But, yeah, it's been really great to work with him. And then we have animation.
Yes.
We do Weird Projection Screen. And we have animation by J.J. Settlemyer, who did Beavis and Butthead and all the SNL TV Funhouse videos, and Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and all these great cartoons, and the sets designed by the set designer for The Late Show. So it's been really fun. It's really cool.
Well, that's great. Did you see the latest Saturday Night Live bit where they had the actual living Beavis and Butthead on the show?
It was last season.
It was last season. It was just unbelievable. Still funny just to see it visually. It is. It's just fantastic stuff.
I stuck with it. Yeah, I know.
I want to talk. You did sports talk a little bit, or comedy dealing with sports talk. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did. I did a HBO sports comedy series called Sports Central, and it focused on, you know, I started on The Daily Show as a writer performer on that show, and just then worked on The Colbert Report and on The Late Show, where I perform mainly on The Late Show now. But I kind of just have always been parsing the news, and we said, let's do that with sports. And so, like, the show focused on all the crazy stuff going on in sports off the field. Really fun.
All right. We're talking to Paul Mercurio and his big Broadway production, Permission to Speak. We'll get to more of that in just a few moments. Right here on WMDX. WMDX, the John and Courtney Show.
And we've got Brittany Merlot with us here at 21 past the hour. A cool 50 degrees here. It's going to be a nice day around Madison. Brittany, everybody's got their eyes on Hurricane Milton as it gets closer to Florida. How are you doing this morning? How are you going to be observing this as it moves on shore?
You know, I'm a little exhausted because I've been observing this for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. you know, can't keep our eyes off of it. This thing just keeps changing. I can't believe how strong it is still. But the good news is it should be weakening still today. Mm-hmm. But I don't care what category it is. I still am so concerned about that surge, regardless of how it makes landfall, because of the strength that it has already. So, you know, if it's wobbling south towards Sarasota and Fort Myers, I really hope that everyone has evacuated. I think this is going to be a devastating storm regardless. If you think about all of the stuff they still have to clean up from Helene, that's going to be missiles kind of flying through the air and any sort of wind gust that you get. And then, of course, the rainfall that they already got, that sand is saturated. So we're going to see some flash flooding on top of tornadoes moving in today. So it's a lot that they're going to be going through in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
A lot of fantastic special effects by the weather people down there. They're showing the water levels
and video effects.
It's pretty cool. At the same time, we're getting rid of the wind chills for up north here. So
yes, isn't that crazy? So that is good news, right? It's such, so calm
Is it? No, it's not good news. It's the easiest way to understand weather.
Okay. They're trying to make it easier for us, you know, because some people are like, what is a wind chill? Who cares?
Bumping into
the wall. So we're just getting rid of it completely, or are you still going to use it? Yeah.
I'm probably still going to use it. We have to explain the difference. There's going to be a transition, so I'm still going to be using that word.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. So what's the weather?
Sorry, National Weather Service.
What's the weather look like for today and tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, we are warming things up. We're going to hit those low 70s today, mid 70s tomorrow, and hit 80 degrees on Friday. Yeah. It's going to be a little breezy out there, but hey, we'll take the warm up, I guess. We have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But we do cool down drastically after. Keep that in mind. Saturday, we have highs at 67. Then we have chances for rain at night, and then upper 50s for Sunday. And actually, way far up north off of Lake Superior, Sunday night and even into Tuesday, we could see some of our first.
Don't say
yep,
it.
Yep, yep.
Don't do it.
The S word.
Don't say
flakes.
It.
Flakes. Some of them flying.
Flakes?
Up north.
Snowflakes.
Snowflakes.
No, cornflakes. We're going to get cornflakes, right?
Cornflakes, yes.
Come on. Mm-hmm, all right, Brittany. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. We're going to cut you off right there.
Yeah, like a bad date, we're going to say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Thank you, Brittany.
All right. We have Paul McCurry on the line right now. He's got a big Broadway production coming in Milwaukee. Permission to speak. And we've got a few things to get to here.
Yeah, Paul, I want to find out about this Paul McCartney story that you have. What's the
mention? You were there. Air, yes. What is that?
Yeah.
Well, I have him on my podcast. I have a podcast called Inside Out with Paul Mercurio, and it's basically one-on-one with just different people from different walks of life. I like talking to people about their process and what they do. We have Kevin Costner, Stephen Colbert, a lot of fun names, and Paul McCartney. I got Paul McCartney on my podcast.
Wow.
And it's surreal how it happened. He was at the Late Show and was getting ready to do a show. He had just finished rehearsal, and I was rushing to get into the studio, and I round the corner. And standing in the hallway all alone is Paul McCartney, leaning up against the wall, chewing gum, looking up at the ceiling like he was waiting for a bus, like all alone. And there's nobody with him. There's like not a,
wow.
You know, there's not a security detail. There's not a parrot on his shoulder, nothing. It was just him, right? So now when you see somebody like that in that setting, your whole world slows down. You're like, oh my God, it's Paul McCartney. Sure. And I'm like, should I say hi? Should I not say hi? And I'm like, you know what? He's alone in a hallway, unprotected. He's like a gazelle on the Serengeti Plains. I'm a lion. I'm going to pounce, right?
Exactly. Good.
Yeah.
Right? So I go up and I say, it's an honor to meet you. So excited to see your performance. Huge fan. And I walk away.
Hmm.
And he's like, wait, come back, come back. I'm like, what? What do you want? I'm busy. No.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this chit chat. No. He goes, what's your name? He goes, Paul. I go, oh, Paul, that's a good name. I'm like, I'll do the jokes, buddy. All right? This is all I have. Okay? You play your little love me do, but this is my thing. What do you do? And I go, yeah. He goes, what do you? I go, I'm a stand-up. He goes, oh, I love stand-up. You got a kid? Yeah, I got a kid. So we're chit-chatting just about like 10 minutes. And as I'm talking to him, on the outside, I'm very smooth. I'm like, hey, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. On the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. Like, out of my mind.
Yeah.
Like the girls you see at Shea Stadium or whatever. Excuse me. So as I'm talking to him, I'm getting closer and closer to his face because I'm checking him out because he's Paul McCartney. But he couldn't get, he was against the wall and he couldn't go back any further. I was so close. I would, like, did you ever see chimps clean fleas off their mace? I could have cleaned ticks off his eyebrows.
There we go.
That close, right? So then he goes, I said, I'm going to leave you alone. I go into the bathroom, I'm hyperventilating, and then I blurt these words out. Paul McCartney should do my podcast. Like, that's right.
So wow.
I go and I knock on the dressing room door, exactly. And I say, excuse me, I know this is crazy, but I would love to talk to you about how you make music. Would you do my podcast? And he goes, yeah, sure. Just like that, right? So, so now I'm completely thrown because I thought he was going to say no.
Yeah.
And then he says to me, how would we do it? And I'm not trying to be funny here and make this up. This is exactly what I sounded like. He goes, how would we do it? I'm like, and then I started like rubbing my leg. Excuse me. I started rubbing my leg like Rain Man. It was crazy. And he goes, how would we do it? And I'm like,
I'll come to London. He goes, we're in a room in New York together. Why would you come to London? Right? And then he says, is it easy to do? And I actually said to Paul McCartney, oh, yeah, it's really easy. I don't want to be a bother. Oh, you could do it on your phone, like naked from your toilet. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing?
Oh, no.
So now, yeah, if this were a first date, forget it. It would have been over with, right? So then I go, okay, look, I'll leave you alone, and I'll get your assistant and coordinate it with her or him. And he goes, no, they're going to make it too complicated. You and I will do it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you and I, we're going to exchange phone numbers, but when I call, and I'm going to call you, but when I call you, you have to be ready to do it, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm handing my phone number to Paul McCartney. He's handing my number. And so I think, you know, whatever, right?
That alone.
I'm never going to hear it. Yeah, so he does the show. The show's over. I'm rushing to get the Daily Show. End of story. My phone rings. I don't recognize the number.
Oh, no.
I let it ring the voicemail. Yes, yes.
Oh, no.
And this is the message on my phone.
Hey, Paul. It's Paul McCartney here. I'm going to ring you back in 5 minutes to do the podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you call me.
All right.
Okay. Oh, Paul. Unbelievable.
We run out of time, Paul Mercurio, and good luck on Permission to Speak in Milwaukee on October 19th.
Paul Mercurio, thank you so much. Thanks for being on.
Great having you.
Coming back with more right after this, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Friends don't let friends drive anywhere without listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Wow. It was great talking to Paul Mercurio. He was just one of the funniest guys.
Yes.
And his comedy spots are fantastic. I looked him up before we went on the air. Did you turn on my headphones?
No. I
am like super loud here.
Oh, where that's mine.
Am I? Okay.
Why are we having problems with these today?
I don't know.
All right. Can't keep it straight.
There we go.
Yeah, Paul Mercurio was great. We'll have him back too.
In the studio right now, a great blogger. It's Mike McCabe, and you have your Substack blog going, and the latest story is just unbelievable. I want to get right into this because I know we're going to be talking about this for quite a while, and the title of it is Ballot Booby Trap. And this is something that neither Gordy and I knew anything about.
Hadn't heard anything about it.
This is
you're not alone.
Another constitutional amendment to our state constitution that the gerrymandered Republicans were foisting off on us, of course, before they lose the majority. This is just unbelievable. Let's talk about it.
It's going to be on the ballot here
it's going to be
3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Correct.
Yeah, we're that close. And no one knows about this.
Yeah, you know, I wrote the article because I fear that a lot of people will probably find out that there's an effort to amend the Constitution.
Yes.
Where voter approval is being sought. And they'll find out when they actually look at the ballot, perhaps on Election Day. And you know, my sense, just talking to people around the state and here in Madison, is that it's just not on anybody's radar. And
right.
I get it. There's a presidential election. There are congressional elections. There's an awful lot on the ballot.
Senate. Yeah.
And there's a lot that people are focused on. But this is a big deal. And so I wrote this piece in hopes of doing my part to bring it to folks' attention.
So what does the amendment say? What is this?
Well, it's just like the national attempt to pass a citizenship amendment.
Yeah.
Like a voter ID thing.
Well, you know, it's similar to voter ID, but, you know, when Wisconsin went through that business of trying to, you know, to deal with voter identification, that was being pushed as a way to prevent identity fraud. You don't want one voter voting in somebody else's name.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, identity fraud didn't exist. There was no evidence that people were actually trying to vote as someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it was pushed. But of course, the real reason underneath the drive for photo identification for voting was voter suppression. They they knew that there were some people who didn't have driver's licenses, right, and they didn't have a photo ID. So make them jump through some hoops, make it harder to vote. Well, this is very similar, but it deals with proof of citizenship, not proof of identity, but proof of citizenship. And the question on the ballot is going to look to voters as innocent enough. It just says that, you know, it says only a U.S. citizen age 18 or older can vote. And it's being pitched by those who put it on the ballot as a way to block non-citizens from voting.
Which is not a problem as well.
It's not a problem as well, but that's how they're pitching this. Yeah. This is about preventing non-citizens from voting. What they're not telling people is that the current state constitution says that every U.S. citizen age 18 and older has voting rights.
Right.
That's the current state constitution. So what they're really doing is changing a single word. Instead of the constitution saying every U.S. citizen age 18 or older has voting rights, they're saying only U.S. citizens age 18 and older have voting rights. And I think what people are going to look at is they're saying, well, you know, that doesn't seem like a big deal.
Right.
This is nothing. I guess I'll just vote yes. It seems harmless enough.
Mm-hmm.
What will then happen after they get this constitutional amendment enacted is they'll write legislation that has been written at the federal level, and actually the U.S. House of Representatives passed it. They couldn't get it through all of Congress and couldn't get it past the president, but they're trying to do this. They'll write legislation saying that in order to register to vote or cast a ballot, you've got to be able to show a U.S. passport or an original birth certificate,
right,
not a copy, but an original birth certificate, and not a hospital-issued birth certificate, but a government-issued birth certificate. And I think what's at work here is, again, the next phase of voter suppression efforts.
Right.
They're going to try to – there's a lot of people out there, especially younger people who have not traveled abroad at all. But anybody who hasn't traveled outside this country, chances are they don't have a U.S. passport.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they're not a citizen, but they don't have a passport. How many people are sitting around with an original birth certificate?
Right.
You know, I don't even have a copy of my birth certificate.
Now, do you consider a copy of a birth certificate a certificate that you request from the government? They give you another one because you lost the original. Is that called a copy, or is that
no? If a government agency issues a birth certificate, you can get one. But again, that's about creating hoops for voters to jump through.
Another hurdle to jump over. Yes.
If you don't have either a passport or your birth certificate, you're going to have to go to a government office and you're going to have to get one.
Right.
And I think what really is at work here is they're trying to do away with Election Day registration. They've been trying to get rid of Election Day registration forever. Mm-hmm. If somebody says, yes, I'm fired up, I'm ready to go, I want to vote, and I've not yet registered, I'm 18 years old, I want to go and register and I want to vote
on the day of the election.
And you can do that in Wisconsin on the day of the election.
Yes.
And they've wanted to get rid of that for years, the people who are in charge of the legislature right now. And this is going to be a way to effectively end voter registration drives out there.
Wow.
When people are out there trying to find new voters and get them registered and get them motivated to go vote, now, they're not going to be able to just hand them a voter registration form and say, okay, we need you to submit this, because they're also going to have a U.S. passport or a birth certificate.
Right.
And then if you show up on election day and it's your legal right to register that day if you wish, they're going to say to you, well, do you have your passport or do you have a birth certificate?
We require this now.
And you're going to have to go get one. And of course, those people are going to go away without voting. This is the next frontier of voter suppression. Photo ID, which is now the law of the land in Wisconsin, you have to produce a photo ID in order to vote. That was a way to try to get those people who don't have photo identification to have to jump through some hoops or to be thwarted and to simply not be able to vote. This will be the next phase of that. So, you know, The stated reason for this was to make sure that only citizens are voting and that you don't have any non-citizens out there casting ballots.
Right.
And that, of course, is not a problem if you know, it's easy enough to determine who's a citizen and who's not. And non-citizens are not out there voting. The Constitution currently, the state Constitution currently, does
it specifies yeah.
that you have to be an adult citizen in order to have voting rights.
Yeah.
So, and none of this is explained to people. Mm-hmm. The ballot question won't explain any of this to people. It just will simply say, do you agree on this constitutional amendment?
Right.
And I fear that a lot of people will look at the ballot and say, well, I guess that makes sense.
Sure,
and
yeah.
So what the heck? Mm-hmm. Not realizing that this is not about preventing non-citizens from voting. This is going to be about trying to make it harder for citizens to vote.
Yeah.
This is kind of
people who are U.S. citizens.
This is a gotcha for somebody who just wants to vote and register on the same day you're voting.
But really, for anybody, for that matter, if you want to register to vote even before election day, you're going to have to jump through some hoops to do it.
Yeah.
And they could even write the law to say that in order to cast a ballot, you know, when you go to cast a ballot, you're going to have to produce this kind of proof of citizenship. Yeah. And you know, there has been legislation written at the federal level. It's called the SAVE Act. It's being pitched as a way to protect the integrity of voting. And what this is really all about is trying again to make it harder for people to vote. And I think what the shame of it is that a lot of people are going to look at that question and they'll say, I'm a citizen, and I don't think non-citizens should be able to vote,
right.
So I'm voting yes.
Yes.
And they're not going to realize that this will open a door for legislators to then make it harder for citizens to vote.
The booby trap.
Yep. And that's why I called it the ballot booby trap.
Well, my wife and I have been talking about this ad nauseum. she, you know, she's had trouble just getting. We got married. She kept her maiden name, and now we're trying to take the maiden name off. And it's a nightmare, a paperwork nightmare to do this for our marriage license. But at the very same time, she's worried that if she has to have a birth certificate that has her original name on it, it doesn't have her current name on it. So how does that work? Does it take every woman voter off the voter rolls?
Well, it would open them to possible challenges of their vote. I mean, people who are out there trying to scrutinize every single vote, they're going to say, hey, this person isn't voting in a name that is consistent with what appears on a birth certificate. Therefore, they're not actually a valid voter.
That's the problem. It takes women off of this.
It
negates women's votes.
And you know, with photo ID, I think what mm-hmm. those who wrote the photo ID law were thinking was that they noticed that they tended to do better in low turnout elections. When voter turnout was high, they were more likely to lose. Higher turnout elections were helping their opponents. So they figured, okay, let's just craft laws that will make voter turnout harder. Yeah. Let's make it harder to vote. And that's what they're thinking here too, is there's a universe of people who might not be able to easily jump through these hoops and prove their citizenship. If we can stop those people from voting, we're more likely to be successful and we're more likely to hold on to power.
I'd like to hear somebody at least ask these Republicans what they intend to do for women who have a different name on their birth certificate when they have a new name now and there's no way of double checking or making sure that... What I see here is that the suburban women who are mostly voting for Democrats, it's taking them out of the loop. It would remove that voter contingent.
And clearly young people have been targeted by these voter suppression efforts. And I think it's clear those people who are currently in power at our state capitol, I think they can see the handwriting on the wall. They're getting a read on Gen Z. They're seeing the young generation come up. It seems to be trending, the Gen Z seems to be trending more liberal. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, well, this doesn't bode well for us over the longer haul.
No, right.
If you've got this new generation coming up and the baby boom generation is going to die off, and we're going to increasingly have an electorate that skews a little bit more left. That's not good. So let's just try to to make it hard for Gen Z to vote.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Sam, are you feeling confident with this pledge?
Oh yeah,
23 years old.
Wow. We're talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger, and you can get your questions to us at 608-879-8255. You can text us a question or comment.
I hope we, as a station, all the other hosts are hearing this, so yes, we pick up the ball on this thing and start beating it to death, because we don't have that much time to the election.
As I said in the article, one of the things that troubled me about this is that major media outlets, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, had a story about this, and the headline said that the ballot question had to do with non-citizen voting.
Wisconsin Examiner, the same thing. No one really took a look at this.
TV stations did this.
Yeah.
So there has been very little media coverage of this ballot question, this attempt to change our state constitution. But what coverage there has been has really embraced the narrative that the initiative's authors wanted embraced. This is about preventing non-citizen voting. And there's been no talk about how this actually will make it harder for citizens to vote.
How could they not have noticed that?
Well, we will continue this conversation with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger, in just a moment. 7:49, back with more on 92.7 WMDX.
Vote to save democracy and stand against autocracy, and tell your friends and family, enough with this insanity. We fought too long to part with these essential civil liberties like privacy and equity and bodily autonomy and what defines a family, equality and empathy. And we're not going back, and maybe we can stop this radical abomination. The future all depends on your participation. That's the way democracy will thrive. America was made for you and me, so let's defend our freedom and our dignity. Now raise your voice and let's keep hope alive in 2025.
Yeah, that's the Project 2025 ballad. Fantastic. What a great song. We should be playing that often.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
It's a little long, but I like it.
We've got Mike McCabe in the studio, but first, let me just mention the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side, or online at verlo.com.
Yeah. I know you don't care, but I got a really good night's sleep.
Did you?
Last night. Finally.
Thank you.
I had hard for me to get back into the week. I usually have 4.5 hour night sleeps, and it's not good. It's not good. And I was starting to burn out. And then I had labs done, so I couldn't eat or have coffee first thing in the morning. And yesterday was a tough day, but I overate and I fell asleep.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Was kind of, giving us text, and I just thought I'd update everybody on my health.
You're well rested.
Was this on a Verlo mattress?
It should be. Okay, we've got a couple of texts here, and by the way, you can text us by going to the Civic Media app and just hitting the text button and tell us what you think. Mike McCabe is right. The Congress could pass a law requiring people to carry and show proof of citizenship similar to what Nazi-like governments, and could also jail a person as well. And here's another text. Thank you for this. I'm a canvasser, and people are not getting accurate info on this. And then another one on our windshield factor deal, that they're going to stop doing the windshield factor. Oh, God. It makes me so angry. It's like getting rid of the dew point.
Yeah.
Windshield factor was put in place by the dark state to make people afraid of weather. Okay. So they're finally going to root out the dark state.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Back to Mike McCabe here. Well, so by the way, before we forget, I want to mention your book is coming out soon. October 17th, is that right?
Yeah.
And the name of the book, and people can get it where?
Miracles Along County Q. And once it's out, people will be able to get it through bookstores and their favorite online retailers. It's been available for pre-order directly from the publisher, Little Creek Press, for a few weeks now.
I know you got a compliment from another writer.
I did.
Well, yeah. Well, tell us about that.
That was incredible. Nicholas Butler, in literary circles, is a pretty well-known figure. His first novel, Shotgun Love Songs, became an international bestseller, and he won prizes for it. He was reviewed in the New York Times not once but twice for his first novel.
Wow.
And both New York Times reviews were very positive, which catapulted the book. He's published four novels. He's got a fifth on the way coming up in 2025. And he was willing to read my book and offer a review. And he likened my writing to two Pulitzer Prize winners, including Thornton Wilder. Yeah. Jane Smiley was the other one, which was kind of knee buckling for me.
I'll bet.
It was incredible to get somebody like Nick, who is a really well established and excellent novelist in his own right, to be even willing to take a look at the book, but then. To write that and to be likened to a couple of Pulitzer Prize winners was
really
beyond a dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're fantastic. Going to have an appearance too. One more thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be at Mystery to Me bookstore on Monroe Street on November 6th, the day after the election that evening.
Excellent.
We'll do a brief book reading
You might either have happy people showing up or really angry people.
I think either way. It's going to be important for people to gather somewhere and not just sit in a state of some silence,
shock or shock,
right? Whatever. Yeah, I think it offers people an opportunity to get out and be with other people, and I think that'll be needed almost regardless of the outcome. Yeah.
I want to get your input on just one thing, and I think this is the real big story besides just the hurricane coverage itself, but the lies that the magazines are throwing out there in regards to the hurricane, this natural disaster. They're lying to everybody about it, saying no one's getting help, the government really isn't doing anything, saying that they're only going to get $750, that's it, to replace their home. They're not. It's just a stipend, something to help them through the first week.
That's crossed my radar was that they're telling people that FEMA's going to take their property away from them. So there are some people who feel like they can't evacuate. They need to stay. They need to stay put
because
otherwise their property will be confiscated.
Oh my God.
Because that's another lie that's being peddled. And I heard of a former Homeland Security official. On an interview saying this is going to cost lives. There are going to be people who believe this kind of nonsense and who stay put. And you were saying earlier, they're saying that this is not a survivable hurricane. You need to evacuate.
Yeah. Yes.
And if people don't evacuate because of misinformation, that can kill people. Yep. And so this is really...
It's egregious. It's unthinkable that anyone could... take advantage of something like this just because it's an election year and we're so close to the election that they would take this. Well, anyway, it's unspeakable.
Mike McCabe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's great.
Tomorrow, Nick Ramos from a Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Rocker in the studio with Max Inc. Preview.
Yeah.
That'll do it for John and Gordy for today.
This time, that's it.
That's it. Talk to you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Have a great day. 92.7 WMDX. So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.